You thought you knew, but you have no idea. It's the Urban Sports Scene.
We're officially back. It's the Urban Sports Scene on the Urban Sports Scene Network. We're no longer with the Eyes Real Network, Will T.
I'm proud of that.
Yeah, man.
I told you to drop them.
Yes, you did, sir. But it's a new era. It's a new dawn. We're going to be the new innovators of sports podcasts.
I'm happy about that.
Yeah,
I'm
you should
about
be.
That, man.
You should be. Anyway, like I said, the Urban Sports Scene. We haven't had my homeboy here in a while, but he is a regular. He is the co-host of the Urban Sports Scene. Please, sir, introduce yourself properly.
Will T, I guess.
That's Will T. That's it?
Yeah, man.
Will T.
Much.
Oh, what you been up to, my man?
Enjoying life, you know. Had a birthday earlier this month and went on an amazing 350-mile bike ride from Virginia to Tennessee to North Carolina. That's how I celebrated my birthday. And, you know, other than that, it's been chilling, you know.
You like on the exercise or diet type stuff. That's
what
I go by.
No, it's not exercise or diet.
That's what I go by.
It's just, you know, enjoying physical, you know, physical fitness.
Physical fitness?
Yeah, that's all.
I hear that. So it's your birthday. So what's the age? You want to disclose that information, right?
I don't care. I'm 32 years old. I'm proud of it.
32 and blessed, man.
Yep.
32 and blessed. You ain't doing no partying?
No partying, man.
You know what I'm saying?
No partying. Even though I'll tell you about it.
Go ahead, please.
Off the microphone, shout out to my homie Jew. He hooked me up.
Tell me about that. Yeah, my dude Jew.
Yeah, we'll talk about that off mic. Off air, excuse me.
Off air, anyway. Let me do a couple of reads. Listen to Clutch Sports Radio. The show is produced by our friend Darwin. Visit his podcast site. It's www.darwin-sports.com. Also, listen to my homie's Voice of the Fan. Their podcast is located at www.blogtalkradio.com/thevoiceofthefan. The show is hosted by Alex and Jeff. Hey, real quick, I saw AJ, who was part of the Voice of the Fan, mm-hmm. when I was in the city just chilling. He came all the way from VA. We hung out for a little bit. This is when I was touring the when I told you I was touring some of the clubs.
Okay.
See that day. So yeah, I saw him at Midtown.
Okay.
Midtown. So Midtown was lovely. Matter of fact, a lovely, nice little establishment. Talked to the promoter over there. They had like four floors.
Really? Is it really nice?
It's nice. It's not bad. There's a obviously multiple floors, so it's multiple DJs. So you have a down. The first floor is more of a popular music floor. You know, top 100, whatever you want to call it. The second floor is hip hop. Third floor is. Trying to say this correctly, like I guess techno or something like that.
Electric music.
There you go. House music. And the fourth floor it's like a hookah bar up there. Okay. I guess they can play anything whatsoever. Also, our show is syndicated on the internet radio station Real People Real Talk Radio. This site is managed by our good friend from Apple G's. Make sure you visit the site. It's www.realpeoplerealtalk.com.
All right, let's get into our tradition of pregame.
Yes, first, Orioles baseball news. Brian Roberts signed with the Yankees. You know, obviously being an Orioles fan, the Yankees are like the enemy. But I phrased this question years ago. Mike Mussina jumped ship and went to the New York Yankees as well. I wonder, in terms of being a traitor, who is the bigger traitor, Brian Roberts or Mike Mussina?
I don't think they're traitors. You know, they were offered a better situation, and they chose to go and play for. Who wouldn't want to play for the Yankees, the evil dynasty?
The evil dynasty, you're right.
That's what a lot of people refer to.
Yeah, the evil empire, actually.
Evil empire, or as I refer to them, the real America team.
The real America's team? You think they're America's team?
27 championships.
27?
Mm-hmm.
I phrased this question on Facebook and Twitter, and a bunch of folks, you know, they tend to go with Mike Mussina. I'm going to go the different route. I'm going to go with Brian Roberts. Mike Mussina got thrown money, so he had to go. All right. Peter Angelos wasn't going to pay Mike Mussina the money he deserved. The Yankees did, and some. But Brian Roberts, We gave Brian Roberts a big break. A couple seasons, he didn't even play basically for the Orioles. He was basically on the IR or the disabled list. So he wasn't an Oriole, and we kept him on the roster. And for him to go to the Yankees, I thought it was kind of a slap in the face. So I'm very disappointed.
I don't think it was. I think it was the best option for him from a business standpoint.
He got like a million more. Like, really?
Okay.
A million more. I mean, for me, I love it.
Yeah.
For me, I would love it.
I mean, just put yourself in his shoes. If someone offers you a million more dollars,
I'm staying in Baltimore. And I stay in Baltimore, and I'm from this area.
So let me get this right. If someone offered you $1 million to work in Baltimore opposed to $2 million to work
Which
and
Wally
live
are we speaking
in,
of? Are we talking about Wally who's already made a couple of million already? Or are we talking about Wally who hasn't received a couple of million? That's different.
No, we're just talking Wally in general.
In general?
So if you had a million.
In general is different. I'm greedy. And of course, in general, I'm
okay,
taking the $2 million.
Okay, exactly.
I'm
so
taking
he did
a couple
the right
million
thing,
more.
So you can't fault him for
no,
taking the $2
million.
No,
he's already made enough money. He can do this.
There's no such thing as enough money.
That I will not disagree with. As a sports fan, it's totally different. But as an individual, there is no such thing as, you're right, as more money. No such thing. You should always aim for more money.
Exactly.
I agree with that. That I do agree. I'm still pissed off. As an Oreo fan, I'm pissed off.
I think you just emotions got to you.
Yeah, the emotions are definitely getting with me. Now, there's another one, too, matter of fact. The O signed Grant Balfour, who was a closer for the A's last season. And, you know, he failed his physical. And now the Yankees are interested in picking him up. Again, another Yankees swoop in move.
Why not? The Yankees need. I mean,
they need,
Yankees
need, decent, need another reliever.
They need another reliever.
They need another reliever.
They need another reliever. They need two more starters.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's a good pickup.
I believe
for the
Phelps
Yankees.
Is the closer now at the moment. The Yankees do need bullpen help. If they can get Grant Belfort, that's a good acquisition if healthy. If not, well.
Yeah, I don't think the particulars have come out about his physical, exactly what was the ailments that caused him to fail the physical. But, you know, if he passes the Yankees for their physical and they decide to sign him, pretty good pickup.
As an Oriole fan, I wasn't big on him anyway, so I'm glad we didn't sign him. I thought he would have been a bust. Let's go to college basketball. The Hoyas, my Georgetown Hoyas, were blown out by Kansas on Saturday, the Kansas Jayhawks. Is this Hoyas team a tournament team?
I think they are a tournament team, but I just don't think, you know, over the past couple of years, a lot of people have become accustomed to the Hoyas.
The Hoyas' way of losing early?
Yeah, losing early, and then when the Big East comes around, they start to turn it around. So I think this may be the same situation with this one. While we're talking about Kansas, Andre Wiggins, what do you think?
Andrew Wiggins,
what do you think?
Has he
lived up? I know
no,
to the hype
no,
that
no,
everyone's.
No, he's not that good. In terms of skill, he's not that good. He's athletically gifted. And if you really, I had this conversation with somebody in the gym when I was playing basketball. Andrew Wiggins, for what he is in terms of his potential, it can go skyward because he didn't start playing basketball, I believe, till the age of 15 or something like that. So if you think about it, he's already, without being skilled, he's in college. I know it's still college. He's already dropping about, 15, 18 points a game?
15 points a game.
All right. So that's without being skilled. All mm-hmm. right. So if he continues to learn and embrace the game and you know, work on his craft, then, yes, he can be awesome. He can be awesome. But that's a big if. Not every young player has that work ethic. But I agree with you. I know what you're getting into. You're stating you're thinking that maybe he's a little bit overrated.
Yeah, to me, and I think this is a fair comparison to him, you know, because of how this guy, when he came out of high school, was a parade All-American, was on the front of Sports Illustrated. There's a guy who went to St. John's a couple years back, 1996, Felipe Lopez.
Mm-hmm.
And I think these guys, to me, they resemble each other a lot.
This kid's more – I mean, Wiggins is more athletic.
But they just don't have that mentality, that alpha dog mentality to take over a game. And he doesn't have that as of yet. You know, there's still a lot of college basketball to be played. So we'll see how it fares out for him.
To be honest with you, I liked Felipe Lopez. I thought he was actually – I think he's more skilled than Wiggins.
He's more skilled, but
I know what you're talking about.
As far as the
it's
the
my
hoopla.
Team. It's
yeah,
my team.
My team
like we've seen with Jabari Parker. Duke is my team.
Exactly.
You know what I mean?
That kid's going to be a star.
Oh, Jabari Parker.
I told people,
Paul Pierce.
Yeah, I told people when
Pierce
I saw him play in high school, I thought the kid was a star.
No, the first time I saw him was in Duke. I never saw Wiggins. I never saw Jabari Parker playing high school. I don't watch high school basketball
I catch it on occasionally.
They're over-publicizing it to me
ESPN
a little
too,
bit.
Yeah, it's become sickening what they're doing to the amateur sports.
Exactly. And so when I got a chance to see Jabari Parker, because I, you know, Al is a big Duke fan, I was like, I want to see this dude. And the dude is accurate. When I mean accurate in terms of basketball, all of his shots look like it's about to go in. And it could be a difficult shot, but he makes it look easy. And he's smooth. And it reminds me a lot of Paul Pierce. He really does. He reminds me of younger Paul Pierce. I like his game. He definitely, to me right now, is the best player in college basketball. And also, to me, the the first pick overall if he decides to come out.
Yeah, I can name five teams off the top of my head. If you put him on the floor now, he's the leading scorer.
Of course.
And potentially could be an all-star in like 2 years.
Exactly. If not the year, he's there, to be honest with
you.
Yeah. But back to the Hornets real quick. I'm not sure this team's a tournament team. Only reason why I say that, usually I agree with you that I always say like the Hoyas, they'll turn on in Big East play. But this team didn't compete against Kansas, which annoys me. Usually when they play, they'll lose a game on somebody else's home floor, and it could be a tough team. They compete. This team usually competes, and they don't get dominated. And this team scares me because they got dominated. And if you look at some of the games they played within the lower level teams, they struggled. Even though they've gotten W's, they've still struggled. And then to follow that up with being dominated by Kansas, a team that, to be honest with you, to me, that hasn't looked that strong. If you look at what preseason polls had them, they don't look that strong to me. And they just pretty much embarrassed the Hoyas. So I'm scared for this Hoyas team. Maybe they could turn it around, but we'll see.
Yeah, I think JT3, he usually works his magic during Big East play. So, you know, the team isn't playing up to expectations now. They're playing at a low level. But once the Big East, they get into the heart of the Big East schedule,
I think still called the Big East, whatever it's called now.
Whatever it's called.
It's called
Catholic
the Big
7,
Catholic,
yeah, Big Catholic East 7. Or whatever. I think this is the last year of the Big East.
Okay.
Then it'll be like the Catholic all right. 7 or whatever the trash is called.
It's usually confuses the bejesus out of me. Anyway, let's go into boxing. Adrian Broner was beat down by
Adrian the problem.
Broner. Yeah, he saw a problem.
Yeah.
He saw a problem. Got beat by Maidana. I didn't get to see the fight.
Marcos Maidana.
Yeah.
It was a great fight. Adrian Broner, I've always stated that I don't think at this time 147 was the correct weight class for him. You know, he still can make 135 the lightweight, and he still holds a championship at the lightweight division. I think that he needed to slowly progress his body to junior middleweight, junior welterweight, and then the welterweight. You know, he's only 22, 23 years old. So I think he still had at least 3 or 4 more years before his body really matured and he had to go up to welterweight. But, it's a fight that, you know, at first it was going to be a pay-per-view fight, which I'm glad they didn't make it a pay-per-view fight because his star power isn't at that level just yet.
Not yet.
No, he isn't. But to the fight, Maidana really roughed him up on the inside. You know, Broner, even though physically looked bigger than Maidana, you know, is a natural 147-pound welterweight, punches very hard, comes forward, and likes to get physical and rough you up on the inside, which exactly was the game plan. And he went on and proceeded to do to Adrian Broner over 12 rounds. You know, in the second round, Adrian Broner was caught flush and was knocked down. And I also believe in the eighth round, he was knocked down also. It was an exciting fight. He said that he wants an immediate rematch against Maidana, which I think would be a total mistake.
Yeah.
For Broner.
Yeah, okay.
Actually, it was interesting. I was reading on the website, boxingscene.com. Floyd Mayweather gave him, I think, which was probably the best advice for him. He said that go back down to 135 or 140 even and forget about an immediate rematch with Maidana. You be the co-headliner on my card May 3rd and, you know, start to build your star power back up. Because, you know, at this point, he's still very early, very young,
yeah,
very early in his career. So a loss to him really isn't going to, you know, hold him back per se.
Especially with his persona, especially with his charisma.
With his charisma and his persona, a lot of people wanted to see him lose.
Yeah, I was one of them. Definitely. Definitely. It was good. It's good to see a man who needs somebody to brush their hair be humble. I'm dead serious.
No, I mean, it's all an act.
I know, believe me, but sometimes it goes overboard. An act can be an act.
Yeah,
you know, for instance, Mayweather is an act before the fight. All this hooping and hollering before the fight. But when after he's done, It's normal. It's to me human Mayweather. You're like, it was great. He was a good competitor.
Well, no, that's
blah,
the,
bu- blah,
that's
blah,
the
that
business. His business. That's the business hat coming on.
Exactly.
I think he's learned. Floyd Mayweather's learned that if he degrades his opponents, you know, before the fight, who really wants to see that fight?
Yeah.
If he talks down that level to them, like it's their level of competition, then people aren't going to be interested in seeing the fight because everyone knows he's going to dominate just about any fighter he's in the ring with. So, you know, why would he go like, let's say, like a guy like Robert Guerrero?
Yeah.
That first fight when he was on Showtime. it behooved Floyd Mayweather to not talk down about Robert Guerrero, for him to say, you know, he's earned the right to fight me, to say he's a credible fighter, because at that point, no one knew who Robert Guerrero was.
Exactly. So if he continued
to downplay him and, you know, make light of him, who wanted to see the fight? And it wouldn't have created as much a stir or buzz for that fight.
No, I totally agree. And to Mayweather, let's go to Mayweather, who I felt that has matured a lot, and even at this point in time in his career, and still hilarious at the same time. He tweeted Manny Pacquiao a funny Christmas card, having about four pictures. You know, originally.
And I think it was 2009 or 2011 when they were
having their
discussion about a potential Manny Pacquiao Floyd Mayweather fight. Floyd Mayweather offered him a flat fee of $40 million to tape the fight.
There you go. Yeah. Here he goes right here. So here's the tweet. Here's the tweet, and here's the image itself.
Okay. Well, he cited that in part in one part of the card.
All right. One part of the one image, he has Manny. I'll pay you $40 million to fight. Second image with Manny looking at his phone, saying, "No way, you're crazy. 50-50 or nothing." Third image, Manny being knocked out by Marquez. Fourth and final image says, "Dear God, please have Floyd call me again."
Yeah, Manny Pacquiao praying.
Praying.
It's funny, but you know what? We all know what'll happen in, you know, 2 or 3 days when the media starts to really criticize him about this. You know, they'll come out well. You know, he'll apologize for it and said his Twitter account was hacked or something like that. That's what everyone does.
It's comical, man. It's good. That's good for
the school
boxing.
You know,
I'm a Manny Pacquiao fan.
It actually puts interest in the fight. It still lets you know that, you know, Manny Pacquiao was kind of on his mind for fighting as an opponent. And everyone knows it's still the biggest fight that could be made.
Exactly.
Manny Pacquiao just needs to
continue to
dominate. You know, if he gets back in the ring in April when he's slated to fight and beats Timothy Bradley, there'll be even a bigger fever pitch for that fight with Floyd fighting May 3rd.
So do you think, for instance, let's go back, obviously, you know, it's something people are sick of talking about, but at the same time, people still want to hear about it. Who does Pacquiao have to beat Marquez to get to Floyd? Or can he skip Marquez to get to Floyd?
No, he doesn't.
Okay.
Only thing Manny Pacquiao, it would be good if he did. Only thing Manny Pacquiao has to do is, A, he has to beat Timothy Bradley convincingly.
Yeah.
And then B, there's a guy named Ruslan Provotnikov.
If he decides
to take that fight and he looks great doing it,
yes,
then those two fights right there, you'll get everyone clamoring for this fight again.
What about the young kid Thurman?
Keith Thurman?
Yeah.
Thurman's a golden boy boxer, so there's no chance of Manny Pacquiao fighting him just because Bob Arum and Golden Boy Productions won't do business together. But I think Keith, one time Thurman, if he continues to build his profile up and, you know, he fights a guy like Maidana sometime this year, then I think next year, not 2014, but 2015 could be a year where we see Floyd Mayweather versus Keith one time Thurman, and which would be an excellent fight.
All right, well, we're about to go to commercial break, talk about the Redskins, but give y'all a quick reminder, because I've posted on Facebook and Instagram and on Twitter. If you have any, you want to join the discussion, just call 202-495-0904. The lines are open, ready to talk. After the commercial break, give us a buzz. It's the Urban Sports Scene on the Urban Sports Scene radio show. You don't want to say, I was going to say Eyes Radio.
Yeah, you know, you'll get used to it.
I have to. It's hard, man. It's hard. It's different. All right. Anyway, say you dig, man. I say you dig.
No,
it's
you
been
dig.
A long time. I say you dig.
Yeah.
All right, you dig.
Deuces.
Hi, this is Wally Akinso from the Urban Sports Scene. Earlier today, I had a sit-down interview with Jim Gray, which focused on a hard decision that I had to make.
How many people know your decision right now?
In all realness, Jim, that's a dumbass question. I should smack your ass right now.
One hand or two hands?
If you keep playing, I'm going to smack you with two hands.
When did you decide?
The idea of me smacking you came about 30 seconds ago.
You still a nail biter?
Don't worry about my nails. They won't be in the way when I smack you. Don't worry about it, all right?
We've had everybody else biting their nails, so I guess it's time for them to stop chewing.
Jim, if I was you, I wouldn't worry about everybody else.
The answer to the question everybody wants to know, what's your decision?
I smacked Jim Gray.
That was the conclusion you woke up with this morning.
Yes, Jim, that was the decision that had me tossing and turning this morning. It was hard, but I felt that my left and my right would make an impact on your face. And I was right.
Why?
Why? That's why.
You think you know? You have no idea. You don't know the decisions that anybody within the USS has to make.
You can listen to us on by visiting our official Urban Sports Scene website, which is www.walio.podbean.com. We're also on iTunes, Twitter, and Facebook. Just search the Urban Sports Scene. And if you have any questions or comments, just email us at change.da.game6@gmail.com. You can listen to us on the Sports Crib Podcast Show on Thursday nights at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Just visit www.blogtalkradio.com/WC Still a Fan. The show is produced by West Coast Still a Fan. All right. I'm also very annoyed, as you know. My Redskins had an opportunity to end the Cowboys season, and they couldn't. Which, do you see the game? We lost 24-23. Am I surprised? I'm very surprised.
Oh, okay.
I'm very surprised. What, you thought we were going to lose?
Absolutely.
How?
Because you're the Redskins.
I'm sorry. I don't like the way that came out of your mouth. That
I'm just being
rude.
Honest, man. I'm just
that was pretty rude.
It's not pretty rude.
That was rude. I mean, that wasn't needed. That really wasn't needed. That was
the truth hurts.
The truth does hurt, but that was me.
No, that wasn't me. To answer your question,
yeah.
I was busy, so no, I didn't get a chance to watch any of the Redskins game.
Let me tell you this game. Let me tell you about this game. All right.
Well, I saw the replay on NFL Network.
All right. So okay. So you can't.
Yeah. So I did see. Well, I saw the game. I didn't see the actual game live, but I did see the game, the NFL replay.
All right. Excuse me. That's the individual's pissed off. All right. So we're up 23-17, actually 23-14 at the time. And I'm thinking to myself, we got a 9-point lead. You know, Kirk Cousins didn't look special. He looked adequate, didn't look special. Defense played well to the last drive, and I felt like, you know, obviously they played not to lose the game, and that's what happened. When you play not to lose the game, you lose the game. Weren't aggressive, especially in that last play, the 4th and 10, the 4th and goal play from the 10-yard line when they didn't bring a blitz on Tony Robo.
And I'm gonna tell you, I know the exact reason why he didn't bring the blitz.
All right, go ahead, explain.
Remember 3rd and 8?
You talking about
2 years ago in Dallas?
Yeah, in Dallas.
That situation. I think that he was thinking, all right, last time when I was in a similar situation, you know, I got burnt by bringing the blitz.
I got you.
So he probably thought, okay, I'm gonna play coverage at the goal line, and I'm going to make Romo make a play, improvise. He has problems throwing it in coverage, mm-hmm. so I'm going to make him, you know, we're going to play our passing lanes. We're mm-hmm. going to, everyone's going to play coverage, and then we're going to make him make a play, and hopefully if we these 3 or 4 guys that I send will get to Romo.
Nah, I can't go with that one.
Can't go with that one?
Only reason because in that play there was so much field. I know what you're talking about. That was, there was so much field left. This is in a short, confined space, all right? It's the goal line. It's just like 10 yards. You're speaking of it because it was a Daisy moment. Romo chucked the ball up, and it, you know, and it was D-Hall with the Dez Bryant called
yeah.
it. It was a D-Hall. Was it Dez Bryant called
D-Hall? D-Hall.
Yeah, so I remember that play.
Cut you off. Speaking of D-Hall, he actually played a really good game against Dez Bryant.
He owns Dez Bryant. I mean, to be real, if you really look at the stats in the games, especially his last 4 meetings with Dez Bryant, he's limited Dez Bryant. I mean, own is like a strong word, but, you know, he's picked off Romo. He's always had great defenses, great defense on Dez. He plays him well. But in this game, a short field, you bring the blitz. Romo, who's already hobbling around, you see that he's not healthy. There's an opportunity to take him out. And he probably wouldn't, if you put enough pressure, you'll probably make him force the ball somewhere and force it to a place you want him to. You want him to throw the ball at. So I'm just surprised they didn't blitz. I'm not going to blame that on the game. I was more annoyed that we lost the game to the Cowboys and lost the opportunity to end their season. That's where I came from. That's where I was pissed. But we lost. It doesn't really matter. This game, it doesn't really matter to the whole importance of the season. We're probably going to finish 3-13. Shanahan will be fired. Thank you.
And you'll get the second pick overall? Oh, wait.
Yeah,
St. Louis Rams
will get that pick, but it's okay. We'll get the second best player in the second round. so it's all good. St. Louis Rams are ecstatic about what's going on in DC, Maryland, whatever you want to call it. So I was a little annoyed. At first, what pissed me off is like I watched the game and thinking to myself, I don't care about this game. Like, that's the first thing. Like, I went to my brother's. I was in my brother's apartment. We was chilling. I was like, yeah, let me change the channel. Let's watch some of these other football games. And then all of a sudden, he's watching the Redskins. Redskins up 23-14. I'm in it. You know what I mean? I'm stuck. I'm in it. I'm excited. I'm screaming. I'm cursing. I'm back to being a fan. All right? And then I'm sitting there looking at my brother.
They lured you in.
They lured me. And I looked at my brother. I looked at me. I was like, dog, I'm pissed off. He's like, yeah, man. I'm mad they just pissed me off. Like, I just like, I hate the Redskins. Like, I hate them. Because I wasn't supposed to care. I was, like, the week before, did I watch the game? Did we lost Atlanta? No, I didn't watch that game. But this game, Will, I was emotionally involved in this game.
Because it's Dallas week.
Yeah, I was emotionally involved. Mm-hmm. All right? And it took this. This is the win. This, honest, real talk. Usually, I get in a Dallas week, but not like this one. Like, this one, I really wanted this one. I really wanted this game. And they just took it away from me. So, I want to say to you, Shanahan, kick rocks. Take you and your son. Go to Mayberry. Get out of my face. I'm sick of Shanahan's right now.
So you really think Mike Shanahan is gone?
Sweet. If there's a God, he's gone.
I'm not 100% convinced that he's gone convinced. Just yet.
I'm convinced. That rat-faced bastard is gone.
Wow.
Goodbye.
How do you really feel about
it? I hate Mike Shanahan.
Well, I'll say this. I'm not one. If you we weren't on the air, you know, the previous 2 weeks when all the leaks were happening. Mm-hmm. After, you know, that first leak happened, I was 90% sure that he was gone. But, you know, as time has gone on over the past couple of weeks, I really don't think he's gone just yet. I think that if he does leave, it'll be a situation like with Marty Schottenheimer, mm-hmm. where it'll be like a week or two later, mm-hmm. after they have, you know, a bunch of discussions. But I don't think it's cut and dry simple. It's like most people think that come Monday morning, by 10 or 11 a.m., there'll be a press conference in Redskins Park announcing that Mike Shanahan has been relieved of his duties as the coach.
Also, if you still listen right now, feel free to join discussions. Our phone line is up. It's 202-495-0904. Yeah, I'm so, like, through with Mike Shanahan. His press conference, like you said, we weren't on the last couple of weeks, but what annoyed me about Mike Shanahan is, like, when he had that press conference and he stated that to the media, I'm telling you guys the truth. I usually don't tell you guys the truth. I'm sitting here thinking to myself, like, dude, you know how dumb you sound? Like, you just admitted to the media that you're a liar. Like, you're a liar. He said, I'm usually not truthful with you guys. You're a liar. That's the realest. That's the realest thing you've ever said. In my opinion, it's the realest thing you ever said.
There's two ways you can look at that. Is one way is that he doesn't give you the whole truth because he doesn't want to present a competitive advantage for any team out there. And then there's another way that you, like you said, that he's just a bald-faced liar.
Yeah.
I tend to believe that he doesn't want to give a competitive advantage to
anyone.
Oh, that's
nice to you. That's just nice of you.
I mean, I don't have a dog in the fight.
I know, but he just lies.
It's just entertainment to me.
All right, so the Don McNabb thing, was that the truth or was that just a lie?
What?
Then we said Don McNabb was lazy, or I'm not saying lazy, like he couldn't understand the play. Why he pulled him against Detroit.
I don't think that's the truth. I think he just simply wanted to pull Donovan McNabb. So he wasn't effective.
So it was just a lie.
Well, it was a lie, but you had to look at the stature Donovan McNabb had in the league at that time. He was a five-time Pro Bowl player took his team to 5 NFC championship games, went to 1
Super Bowl,
and was very respected amongst everyone in the league. And also
in that locker room,
and there was also a dynamic where a lot of people don't want to admit it, but, you know, a black quarterback in Washington, D.C., and there was a racial aspect to
especially that. Saying that somebody couldn't.
Yeah, because you know, the
run a two-minute drill. That was it. He couldn't run a two-minute drill.
Yeah, because, you know, in the past, black quarterbacks, it's always been said that they weren't the most intelligent when it come to playing the quarterback position. So, you know, they were more athletic than they were cerebral assassins. And you didn't want to label Donovan McNabb as such because it would have started off a racial uproar.
Yeah, same thing. And why, you know, Donovan McNabb, that's the reason why Donovan McNabb chose not to run anymore. But well, that's a whole different discussion. Yeah, I mean, Shanahan, liar. And that's going to be, to me, that's going to be his downfall here in D.C. Just the whole leaking information out and things of that sort. It's just, you know, it's too much for a coach, man. You know, it's funny when you see great coaches in this, in football. And even, we, you know, I always go back to Joe Gibbs when he came back and for his tenure. As an older guy coming back into the NFL, Shanahan's an older coach coming back into the NFL after being fired by Denver, even though it wasn't long like Joe Gibbs. But at the same time, how you can relate to your players. Like Joe Gibbs, at this, you know, even at his old age, can relate to his players. His players play hard for him, all of them.
I think that's key one thing you said. I think the next guy that comes in here, he has to have some people skills.
Yeah.
I think he has to be able to communicate with not just his players in the locker room and, you know, the owner and the GM, but also he has to endear himself to the fans.
Yeah. And go ahead.
No, go ahead.
And please, Snyder, who I actually feel that people blame you way too much. I'm sick of that folks. Oh, it's always Daniel Snyder's fault. People need to shut up. Please do not get the coach from Baylor, because that's going to set a terrible precedent for the team for next season, because those players are going to look at RG3 and say, okay, you're calling the shots, not anybody else.
Yeah, but one college coach he does need to pay a visit to, and I know this guy said that he is going to stay at the school he's at and isn't interested in an NFL job at this time, David Shaw of Stanford.
Yeah, David Shaw is awesome.
I think he would be an awesome coach for the Washington Redskins.
A lot of teams want Shaw.
Yeah, and actually his style of play is the style of play that, you know, a lot of people were synonymous with the Redskins during the late 80s and the early 90s when this franchise was successful, which is ground and pound, play action, and play great defense.
It's hardball style. Look what's going on in San Francisco. Look what's going on with the Colts. It's the same style. They're all using that style. So, and they're successful.
Look what his brother's done in Baltimore. Run the ball, play great defense.
Exactly.
Beat you with the big play here or there in the pass game.
Yeah, it's playoff. It's what really, if you want to break down football for like years ago, it's championship football. That's exactly what it is. It's called championship football. Let's go back to the game. Kirk Cousins didn't play spectacularly. He didn't play awesome. He played good, played decent. Do you think that game pretty much hurt his stock? You know, the Redskins are trying to push him to a first round.
I don't think it hurt his stock. I think he did what a lot of people thought he would do. I don't think, you know, anyone had any delusions of grandeur that Kirk Cousins was going to come in and set the league on fire. I don't think anyone thought he would do what a guy like Nick Foles is doing in Philadelphia. I think everyone knew that Kirk Cousins, you know, he's a good quarterback, NFL passing quarterback at this point in his career. He's used to playing in a pro-style offense because, you know, of the style he played at Michigan State. He's not going to hurt you. He's not going to make a bunch of big plays, but he has enough to go out there and win the game for you if you put him in the right situations.
You know, I think this game did hurt Kirk Cousins in a way. I think a lot of people were looking at Kirk Cousins, and the Redskins organization looking for Kirk Cousins to dominate, especially a bad Cowboys defense.
I'm not going to even say I think Redskins fans were looking at Kirk Cousins to dominate. A lot of Redskins fans thought that.
Well, I think Mike Shanahan looked at it too.
I think that's fair to say. Yeah, I think Mike Shanahan, and I don't mean to cut you off. But I think Mike Shanahan saying, okay, now I have a guy who has the tangibles and intangibles to run my offense the way that I want. Because if anyone's ever noticed, it's not about the players. It's about the Shanahan offense. It's about what they can do, the waggles, the bootlegs, the screens, the empty backfield. This is what this is the Shannon. What it's always been about is their system.
Mm-hmm.
It's not that we need, and we could put player any, we could plug in anyone into our system and be successful, i.e. Rex Grossman, i.e. John Beck.
Yeah, and that's, you see what happened with that same thought process with the with John Beck and Rex Grossman.
A guy who he staked his professional reputation on.
Exactly.
And we saw how that played out.
Exactly. And that's, again, the Shanahan regime is something special in terms of what they feel what they can produce in terms of making somebody better rather than just getting talented individuals in here to do their job and do it well. Let's go to, you know, obviously Sunday. Last Sunday had some importance. London Fletcher, one of the
one of the better Redskins over the past 20 years.
Yeah, better Redskin. Yes. Oh yeah, past 20 years. I'll give you that. Had his last game at FedEx Field. Where would you rank London Fletcher in terms of middle linebackers for the Washington Redskins, like all time?
I'll say this one, and I don't know the guy personally, but just what I've picked up about him, he seems class personified.
Yeah.
A leader on and off the field, always showed up to work, as we know by his 260-plus straight games starting, never taking a Sunday off. Now, where does he rank amongst the Redskins' greatest middle linebackers?
You can put middle linebackers. Let's say linebackers, period. I was going to say middle linebackers, but you know what? We don't have a bucket load of great middle linebackers.
Yeah.
So go ahead.
So Sam Huff, you have
obviously
to say.
That's number one.
He's number one. A guy that I really liked, Wilbur Marshall.
Exactly. And I've been hearing that like London Fletcher was the best acquisition. And some people had him right over Wilbur Marshall.
There are two linebackers off the top of my head who I can think of were better acquisitions than London Fletcher.
Ken Harvey.
Wilbur Marshall and Ken Harvey. Then also you have to put in there – was Kirk Covea?
Kirk Covea was an acquisition.
Was an acquisition.
Yeah, he was an acquisition.
I would say Kirk.
Did he start or we just drafted him?
I think he was a Plan B player.
Yeah,
if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, yeah.
There's Kirk Covea, Monty Coleman.
Monty Coleman. That's the one Monty Coleman when he was younger in his heyday was
Marcus Washington had a
Marcus Washington.
Yeah,
he played some solid season.
Antonio Pierce had a couple of solid seasons.
There was no male linebacker for the Washington Redskins. We're gonna go off one season of dominance. I'll be honest with you. One season of dominance for a middle linebacker position. There is nobody that I've seen with my eyes. I've been watching the Redskins, like studying the Redskins since the early 90s to the present. And I've never seen a middle linebacker as dominant as Antonio Pierce that one season under Greg Williams, because he was smart. He understood Greg Williams' system. He got the players in the right position. And that it was a reason why that defense was ranked one of the best defenses in the NFL that season because of an Antonio Pierce.
Now, having said all of that, London Fletcher, he's had a stretch. He's been here, for six? I want to
seven
say like
years.
Six
oh,
or seven years.
7 years.
He consistently has played at a very high level.
Other than the last two seasons, in my opinion.
Other than the last two seasons, played at a consistently high level, made a couple Pro Bowls. I think you would definitely put him top seven linebackers of Redskins all time.
Of course, yeah.
Even top five.
Yeah, but you got to look, like, you know, I know that London's played very well for this team, and, you know, he should be commended for it, honestly.
But he's never anchored a dominant Redskins defense.
And that's it. And that's
and I think that's the thing that hurt him. Wilbur Marshall was part of that 91 dominant defense.
Capital punishment. Yeah. Dominant defense.
Kirk Covea was the middle linebacker for that defense.
He may not been Kirk Covea may have not been the best linebacker, but he was good at what he did.
Very serviceable.
Monty Coleman was off the bench. Andre Collins, Kirk Covea, and Wilbur Marshall. Those are linebackers.
Yeah.
And those guys played that position well.
Marcus Washington made a couple of Pro Bowls.
Marcus Washington was really good. People forget how good some of our linebackers are.
And like we
obviously
said,
LeVar Arrington. People know about
LeVar Arrington.
So we've had good linebackers here in D.C. London Fletcher has played his position at a high level. But like Will said, he's never really, in my opinion, anchored a dominant defense.
Yeah,
when Joe Gibbs first came back and Antonio Pierce was manning that middle linebacker position, honestly, you want to look at talent alone, we didn't have any pass rushers. We really didn't. We was playing Ronaldo Wynn and folks like and Philip Daniels, and we didn't have any pass rush, but we held teams down. When we weren't scoring, teams were getting weren't barely moving up the field, and if they did score, it would be field goals. And the defense was playing at a high level throughout the whole season with Antonio Pierce as the quarterback of that defense.
Yeah, and I think, you know, anytime you want to label a linebacker specifically one of the all-time greats, he has to – one of the staples, one of the criteria has to be help to anchor a dominant defense. And London Fletcher never did that. He won a Super Bowl in St. Louis with the Rams when it was the great show on turf.
And their defense was
average. But you can't acknowledge that, you know, he played 250-plus games straight.
He's an Iron Man.
He's an Iron Man, and he played at a high level, even though he didn't make any Pro Bowls until he came to Washington later on in his career, and I don't know why. But and it's probably the reason because he didn't anchor.
We
a
talk about
top,
why what? Did he make why a Pro Bowl? I don't know why either.
And I think it's probably the reason because he anchored a top defense. And, you know, most guys, when you think of Pro Bowl defensive players, is someone who anchored one of the top defenses or their stats were out of this world. So
yeah, and also on Facebook on the group Sports Convo, my man Reggie Maddox. Said, after only 7 years, come on, dude, really? Sam Huff wins that easily, not taking nothing away from Fletch, but to me, he'll always be a Ram first. That's true to me. He will always be a Ram. Where he won his Super Bowl at. Then again, Huff was just as much a Giants as a Redskin, too. Can't go wrong with either way. I think you're right the first time. Huff is the superior linebacker. Huff is, if you look at clips of Sam Huff, he was amazing, and he played old school football. London Fletcher again was a great linebacker. In terms of, you know, remembering him as a St. Louis Ram, I do remember him as a St. Louis Ram. That's to me his claim to fame. But like Will said, he never really had a dominant defense in St. Louis, and even he went to Buffalo too, and you know, played well.
Pretty good
team. Yeah, Buffalo. He was okay in Buffalo, but Greg Williams, because Greg Williams liked him, and he was in Buffalo with Greg Williams. So London Fletcher's. It's a Hall of Famer, in my opinion. Is he a first ballot? No, but he's a Hall of Famer.
He's one of those guys that he'll be on the ballot at least 10 times.
Yeah.
I think that's fair to say. And then he'll probably, you know, once people really look at guys who are in, you know, a guy like Ray Lewis or a guy like Brian Urlacher, their stats, and then they'll see his and they'll say,
oh, yeah, he matched up.
And he played in that era with those guys also.
Yeah, this is a good conversation. Maybe we'll continue later. But anyway, it's time for another commercial break. When we get back, we'll talk about the Ravens having that crucial and terrible loss to the Patriots. Was it 41-7?
Yeah.
Oh, God, that's a game they definitely need. Anyway, it's the Urban Sports Scene on the Urban Sports Scene Network.
You dig?
I'm going to say deuces. We messed up the whole thing.
Yeah, we just getting our legs back under us.
Exactly.
I'm Peyton Manning. On the football field, I always had to prepare for the unexpected. My teammates and I train to think fast and be ready ahead of the game. You can be ready with the help of your local American Red Cross. The American Red Cross can help all of us prepare for life's emergencies. Take life-saving CPR or first aid courses. Make an emergency plan or learn how to build a disaster supplies kit. Contact the American Red Cross today.
Call 1-800-HELP-NOW or visit redcross.org to learn more.
This need to be.
Yeah. Here we go again. We
Bad
go.
Boy South.
Get on Field USA.
Yeah. Block Entertainment. Yeah.
You know I go by the name Nitty, right?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Yeah. I got to introduce y'all. I'm never come from my squad, right?
Yeah.
Who is this, man? Go by the name of Jock.
Young Jock.
He resides in College Park, right? But for right now, what we gotta do for y'all, what we gonna do? We gotta give y'all a hit.
Damn near every day. Ask a million questions like Jock, where you stay? Tell a College Park, where the chop call? Heat 20 grand, spend a grand at the bar. Just about his own. J's on my feet. I'm on that Patron, so get like me. 69 cutlass with the buttons.
Back from commercial break. Ready to talk about those good old Baltimore Ravens. What's up, B-Mo? How y'all doing? You real confident after y'all beat the Detroit Lions? So good. What's his name? Kicker for the
Justin Tucker
with that amazing 61-yard kick. And then comes in this game and miss a easy chippy. Can't be missing chippies when you're making a 61-yard kick. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But anyway.
That's unexcusable.
I know. But anyway, go back to this game. The Ravens falling to the Patriots 41-7. Was this the kind of loss, the kind of game they needed a Ray Lewis or Ed Reed?
I think Ray Lewis more so because Ray Lewis knows how to play chess with guys from a standpoint of pre-snap, like with a Tom Brady and a Peyton Manning. He's played those guys so played against those guys so many times that he already knows the formations. He knows in different situations what a team like New England Patriots likes to run in certain situations or certain spots on the field. I think he would have helped a little bit, except when in pass coverage. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I think he would have helped this team. Ed Reed, I don't know per se because you know we see how he played against how he's played in Houston and with the Jets.
Yeah,
you know he hasn't played at the level that we are used to him playing at.
For me, I think they would need a Ray Lewis and Ed Reed because it shows one thing is that, you know, Ray Lewis and Ed Reed, they may, like you said about Ed Reed, he may not physically be at the place he needs to be effective as a Hall of, how I say, an all-time great safety because he's an all-time great safety, one of the best safeties that ever played this game. But they study and they put their players in the best situation to succeed. Their coaches on the field. Ray Lewis would have that defense shifted to a point where they'll be ready to do, you know, to counter whatever Tom Brady was going to, you know, put out there on the field. Especially if you look at the talent that the Patriots did have on the field with Edelman and Amendola without a Gronkowski. I'm thinking to myself, like, okay, if Ed Reed and Ray Lewis was there, even if, the last season Ray Lewis wasn't playing at a high level, be honest with you, Ray Lewis lost a step last season. And I think that Ray Lewis could have beat this team. Or even a team with that Ray Lewis could have beat this team. A team with that Ed Reeve last season, to me, who even lost a step last season, could beat this team. Just having that leadership, having those players, knowing that, okay, I played against Tom Brady. I know what Tom Brady's going to do. You know, I may not be as quick as I used to be, but I will put you in the best position to succeed. And that's what I think the Ravens missed in that game. Because they're not 41. To me, in my opinion, talent-wise, that Patriots team is not 41-7 better than the Baltimore Ravens.
Absolutely not. This current Patriots team has a lot of holes.
Mm-hmm.
They dink and dunk you down the field.
Mm-hmm.
The running game has improved. Shane Vereen is an incredible asset out of the backfield. You can line him up in the slot, push him out wide out of the backfield. So he creates a lot of matchup problems for any defense. But 41-7, no, I don't think that's the case. Not for this team, especially on the defensive end, the Patriots have so many holes without a Vince Wilfork in the middle.
Exactly. You know, you would think that Ray Rice and Bernard Pierce can do something in that game. They didn't. So
I got a word for you Ravens fans about Ray Rice. Ray Rice, the Ray Rice that you knew or expected is done.
After is he that 30 yet?
No, he's not 30. It's just I don't think he'll be the same after that hip injury.
Okay, because he doesn't look the same. I totally agree.
He hasn't looked the same since that hip
fantasy
injury.
Fantasy football folks are pissed at Ray Rice. I know he gets the fantasy football hater of the hatred. Because I know my brothers that can't stand Ray Rice right now. Just to the point where he's only averaging about, 3 yards a carry, if that. I think he may be even a little bit lower than 3 yards a carry. Anyway, can this team go into Cincy this Sunday and get a big win? With the way they're playing right now, they have to go to Cincy, which to me, Cincy is a home team anyway. But
They can win.
They can win. I won't tell you what you really think, what you feel, because it's one of the games we're picking from. But you think they can win? It's a opinion. They have an opportunity to win. They have a chance.
Yes.
Okay. You think they have a chance? It's to be determined. You know, they can win if Joe Flacco plays a good game, because I don't think they can rely on the run game. They won't. They cannot rely on the run game, especially against that Cincinnati Bengals defense at Cincy, and it's also depending on which Andy Dalton you're going to get.
See, that's key right there.
Yeah.
Which Andy Dalton you're going against? Because you know he's kind of like Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde. You know, last week against when they played Minnesota,
mm-hmm.
4 touchdowns, 336 yards. AJ Green, two of those touchdowns. But in some games, Andy Dalton just doesn't show you that level of play that you would think that an elite quarterback would give you.
Andy Dalton doesn't do it. And I watched Andy Dalton in TCU, and I thought this kid, you know, for you know, college quarterback, and obviously wasn't at the big market school. But when I saw him play as a quarterback, I thought he had it. He just looked like a quarterback who knew the game, who can call plays, who can change plays, and you know, change plays as he sees the defense adjust. It's just a guy who to me had it all. He reminded me a little bit like poor man's Tom Brady in college. A poor man's Tom Brady.
I'm not going to go that far. But I did get a comment from Ray, one of our frequent contributors.
Oh, Ray's listening right now?
Yeah, he is. He wanted to note that Ray Lewis missed most of last season.
I know, Ray. Thank you, Ray.
We know.
I'm glad you're listening. That's what I'm talking. Hey, call in, son.
Yeah, we appreciate you listening.
Why just call in? Why just call in? Why just call in, Jeezy? Jeezy, call in.
Maybe he's busy.
Probably so.
Yeah.
Christmas shopping.
Probably.
Yeah.
Doing something.
You should play me in tennis, man. It was great tennis weather on Saturday, Ray. You hear that, Ray? All right, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Are you done with your personal rants?
All right, I'm good.
No, where were we at? Andy Dalton. Yeah, Andy Dalton, this team's well-being in the playoff lies with him. You know, is he going to be the guy who gives you those four touchdown games, or is he going to be the guy that posted the stats he did, like, against Miami, where he had, like, 300 yards, zero touchdowns, like, two interceptions? And, you know – made a lot of missed throws to, you know, his favorite receiver, AJ Green.
Second best receiver in football, yeah.
Yes, AJ Green. And, you know, that guy Marvin Jones is a beast. I don't know why he doesn't play a lot more, but he's a beast.
Marvin Jones is a beast because AJ Green is so great. It's the Alvin Harper effect.
That could be it, but
he plays
he complements AJ Green.
Oh, yeah,
I agree.
He's improved year by year. Last season, you know, they tried to feature him a little bit more. I didn't see anything. This season, you know, I mean, we've been watching football for years. When you are that wide receiver, you know what I mean? Like, the second wide receiver is going to get out. When you're A.J. Green, when you're Calvin Johnson, Nate Burleson goes crazy.
If, using your logic, then Mohamed Sanu should be dominating.
Sanu?
He isn't. Yeah, but.
He does okay.
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying. Like, Mohamed Sanu
is
starting.
Yeah, I agree.
But, you know,
I'm not knocking.
Marvin Jones is on the bench as the third receiver, so I think Marvin Jones should be that.
I thought Marvin Jones played second at
time.
I swore Marvin Jones was second. Or they interchange him.
They interchange.
Yeah,
him and Mohamed Sanu.
Sanu's okay. I mean, they're all okay to me. They're all the same. It's all about AJ Green.
It is.
It's all about AJ Green. I mean, don't get me wrong. They've projected Jones to do well. All right, they projected Jones to do well. Marvin Lewis and the coaching staff over there, and Gruden, they like Jones. They've always liked Jones. But you know, AJ Green makes him go.
Speaking of Gruden, what would you think about him as one of the next coach?
Which Gruden were you speaking of?
Jay.
That's coach.
Not John. The Washington Redskins.
No, I'm not for that.
You're not for it?
No, I'm not for it because his offense is too helter skelter. Even though, like, what you can say it's Andy Dalton, but. It's still a little helter skelter for me. I need a consistent dude. I want a mean dude that everybody likes. That make any sense?
So Bill Cowher.
Yeah, that's what I want. I'll make it that simple.
Or
that's
Ken Whisenhunt.
Bill Cowher.
What about Russ Grimm?
That'd be great, but he's not gonna come here.
Okay.
Oh, if Russ Grimm is interested and if Snyder wants to go ahead and go for it, I love Russ Grimm because that's gonna bring mean football. Let me tell you folks, mean football wins games. All right, soft football doesn't win games. It gives you it does well for a little bit, but mean football consistently wins games.
Yeah, but mean football or power football, as I like to call it, isn't the most marketable. And we both know that Dan Snyder is a marketing guy.
No.
Dan
Snyder wants
to win.
He wants to win.
He's a marketing.
No, he wants to win. Dan Snyder wants to win. He wants to win first and foremost. I'm gonna say it one more time. You call me – true, I have another name for it, too. I call it mean football, and also I call it big boy football. Mm-hmm. Big boy football wins games, all right? You want to play the Patriots – there's a reason why the Patriots haven't won Super Bowls in a while. They went away from mean boy football. When they was winning their Super Bowls, they were playing mean boy football because that defense dominated. Excuse me. That defense dominated. That defense was mean. there's a reason why the Saints are inconsistent because they don't play mean boy football. They got lucky. They got home field advantage. They got a nice little run. Mean football wins championships. So Russ Grimm, if you want to come down here, I'm happy to have you because you were under Bill Cowher. You played under Joe Gibbs. You know about December football. That's what it's about. It's about December football.
I do think going forward, I do think if this team is going to be successful, the Redskins, that is, the Washington football team, as I like
to call them. You've been calling them the Redskins for a while. I didn't correct you. So.
I'm okay. Cognizant of it. Okay, I know what I'm doing.
Yes.
I do think you might want to bring that guy on as an associate head coach or make him the guy who's in charge of your running game or coaches the offensive line.
Oh, Ray did talk. I didn't get Ray's text. I just got Ray's text. I need to start paying attention. Ray said, hey, you still use that commercial. Yes, sure Ray. Do. I still use that commercial. Hey, you got to help me make a new commercial, man. That's on you. You're supposed to write one anyway, Ray. Thank you, Ray.
But anyway, let's get into more NFL news.
Von Miller tore his ACL, and is out for the season, of course, he tore his ACL. How does this affect the Denver Broncos in this playoff push?
They were 6-0 without him. You don't have any excuses.
Exactly.
You shouldn't have any excuses. Exactly. You were 6-0 without him. You started off the season 6-0. Even though Von Miller is one of the best outside pass rushers in the NFL, no excuses now. This is your team that looks destined to at least reach the Super Bowl. Let's see if you follow through.
Especially, yeah.
And don't have any excuses without
him. In a weak AFC right now, in my opinion.
I'm not going to say weak, a wide-open AFC.
Wide-open. Well, yeah, depending who gets hot. I like the way the Chargers are playing right now. If they get in.
If the Chiefs defense can tighten up and get back to that loss earlier in the year.
That loss to who they lose to?
Oh, Indianapolis.
That's a team that looks scary, Indianapolis, because they play up to their competition.
Yeah, they play up to their level of competition, but they just don't have a running game that can net more than 3 yards a carry.
And that Reggie Wayne injury is going to hurt. Even though Donald Brown is playing good football, though, for him.
Yeah.
The Cardinals did the impossible. They went to Seattle and got a W. Does that Seattle loss kind of damage the whole aura that Seattle can't beat
them?
The mystique that you can't beat them in Seattle?
It's more of a wake-up call for Seattle. Mm-hmm. I still think that this team is the front runner to make it to,
of course,
to represent the NFC. Mm-hmm. The only team I really see giving them a tough time is the San Francisco 49ers, just because they play a similar style of football. They have outside pass rushers. They like to smash you with the run game, and then they'll beat you every now and then with a big play over the top. And they both have a quarterback that can use his legs to make plays if a play breaks down. But this Cardinals team, they have the opportunity to be 11-5. And who would have thought, you know, they would be 11-5 coming into the season?
May not even make the playoffs.
Yeah, may not. They'll be 10-6, win 10 games, and may not make the playoffs. But it's just a testament to Bruce Arians as a head coach. And also, you have to think about it. This team doesn't have the greatest talent as of yet.
They have talent.
They got
a lot of talent if you really want to break it down. Mm-hmm. I can break it down to you. They got talent. We talk about the quarterback position?
Yeah. Chief, the quarterback position along the offensive line.
Okay, you're talking offensive line. We're talking something different now. I think on the skill position, they have a lot of talent.
Yeah, they have Michael Floyd's developing.
Michael Floyd is a
young receiver. Mm-hmm. Then you have, of course, Larry Fitzgerald, who's a consummate pro,
exactly.
One of the best. Andre Ellington, he's a guy
from Clemson.
In the sixth round, who's starting to show out. Mendon Hall, yeah. And on that defensive side,
they like Roberts, the wide receiver. So I mean, they got some.
And that defense,
Is talented, man.
Yeah,
the defense is. Honestly, if they didn't lose the Honey Badger, they would be even that more thorough. And he's been having a real good season as a rookie. So Patrick Peterson, self-explanatory. You got
John Abraham,
who's playing at a high level. Ray, John Abraham, holla at him. And also, Donnell Dockett, Fish, holla at him.
Friend of the show.
Donnell Dockett. I forgot his name, but he plays a DN too.
Calais Campbell.
Yeah. Calais Campbell. Yeah, Calais Campbell.
I'm terrible with names.
It's okay. It's all good.
Don't beat me up.
But yeah, that Arizona team showed some weaknesses for that San Francisco team. That Seattle team. I've always stated this, though. If a defense, I think Carolina and San Francisco are two teams that I think can go into Seattle and give them problems. Because it's not about Seattle's defense. Seattle's defense is going to strap down. Let's just be real. They're going to strap down. They're going to strap down regardless. They strap down the Cardinals for real. They strap that down. The problem is that defense, those defenses are good enough, in my opinion, to to make Russell Wilson struggle. And they're that good. Those defenses are that good to make Russell Wilson struggle.
One thing that that I noticed that the Cardinals did against Seattle, which kind of made it hard for Russell Wilson to complete passes, where they took away his passing lanes. Because Russell Wilson's only 6 feet,
exactly,
and he has offensive linemen who are like 6'4", or 6'6", and up, what the Cardinals did were they got their hands up in the passing lanes. And created and made it harder for Russell Wilson to see downfield, which could be something that you should pay attention to as they make this playoff run.
Yeah, and so we'll see what goes on. Let's continue to go down and get on some more NFL news. Terrell Pryor's agent believes that the Raiders are putting his client in a position to fail by starting him against the Denver Broncos.
I could see how he would come to that assumption, for the simple fact that Terrell Pryor has been healthy for a couple of weeks now and hasn't been inserted back into the lineup. Then the last game of the season, you want to insert him against the Denver Broncos. And
they're going to try to play.
And play him and see, play to win and see how he fares against them when he's been the starter and he should have had been the starting quarterback, if you go by the philosophy that if you get injured, you can't lose your position, your job. So I could see him making that case, but you make it harder for Terrell Pryor going forward because he's a free agent.
Uh-huh.
And he'll need work next year. I don't think he'll be back with Oakland.
Yeah, I think the best case scenario is for him to be back with Oakland. I don't think any other organization is going to give him an opportunity.
Probably not. I guess it depends on
because he'll be used as a wide receiver somewhere else.
What type of team? Do they have a mobile quarterback?
What team could he has to go to a bad team. It can't even be a good team. It's got to be a really bad team. They can't even get a quarterback.
He can compete for a backup position.
That's the best he's going to do.
Yeah,
that's the best he's going to do.
A starting quarterback position.
Oakland, he has an opportunity. An opportunity. Because what the roster has is to actually compete for a starting job. Anywhere else, he doesn't have an opportunity. Maybe you want to commit if you want him to compete with Geno Smith, but that's the best.
I don't even think. I think Matt Schaub would be brought in to compete with Geno Smith.
Oh, I think Geno Smith's going to start next season for the Jets, but I don't think
it'll be a Idzik. What's his name? John Idzik decision. I don't think Rex Ryan necessarily would. If it's up to Rex Ryan, he would compete.
Yeah, Rex Ryan would get the job elsewhere. But the GM is pro Geno.
He's drafted him.
Yeah, his guy. So, that would happen. But yeah, I'm with you on that one. Anyway, let's go to I call Will segment, the best segment, one of the best segments on the NFL docket on our show. Three things you found out during week 16.
Okay. Start first?
Yeah, you can go first.
I think the first thing that we learned is, as we stated earlier in the show, championship football is ground and pound, running the ball, and playing great defense. If you look at a team like, for instance, we can look at the Carolina Panthers versus the New Orleans Saints. With 2 minutes left in the game, Ron Rivera decided to pull his offense off the field, punt the ball.
I disagree with
which
it
a lot
too.
Of people disagree.
I did.
With.
I was one.
His team got his team was able to make three straight stops. They had two timeouts, and then that gave Cam Newton the opportunity to drive down the field with a minute and 27 seconds left. And by golly, he did it. So, championship football is the formula is pound them on offense with the run and play great defense and then make it close so your offense or if you have a great quarterback has a chance to win the game for you.
Well learned in week 16 is that nobody in the AFC in that last playoff spot really wants it. The Miami Dolphins had it. They played the Buffalo Bills who suck. And they couldn't get that W. Matter of fact, I think Thad Lewis is playing. And they couldn't score a single point against the Buffalo Bills defense. This is a play. You're fighting for the playoffs right here. All right, you didn't score a single point against a team that's terrible. All right, so you don't want this. Then I go to the Baltimore Ravens, 41-7 at your home field. It's pathetic, especially with a team that just went into Detroit and pretty much when people thought they were gonna lose that game, they played a good game and they had a good plan. And they come home playing against the Patriots, a team that's decimated with injuries. And you lose 41-7. I don't care if Tom Brady is the great Tom Brady, and you're playing against that Patriots machine. 41-7 in your own home? Oh, come on. Get that together.
Second thing that I learned this week was there'll be an opening in Detroit for a head coach.
Oh, yeah.
Jim Schwartz squandered a 6-3 record, and now his team has been eliminated essentially from the playoffs. So, Detroit Lions fans, be on the lookout for a new head coach and potentially a new GM.
Second thing I learned, Jay Cutler, you leading a team that needed this W against the Eagles, 11-54. You played a horrible game. Are you a franchise quarterback? I think we've learned this. Jay Cutler is not a franchise quarterback. He's Jeff George. That's what Jay Cutler is.
Jeff George?
He's Jeff George.
Wow.
That's Jay Cutler.
That's pretty low.
That's Jay Cutler. He's Jeff George.
Third thing I learned, that the Indianapolis Colts, they are legit, and they do have an opportunity once they get into the playoffs to knock off whoever they play. Like we said, they do play up or down to their level of competition. So if this team decides to become motivated during the playoffs, they do have an excellent opportunity to represent the AFC in the Super Bowl.
And it's also what I've learned, I think I stated this earlier, for the Seattle Seahawks, once they play a team that's not scared of the aura of playing in Seattle and a team that's willing just to play defense, you have to have defense. The Arizona Cardinals showed you that if you play a physical style, if you've watched the Arizona Cardinals play football and that defense play football, they play a physical style, a very physical style. And if you can go ahead and if you can go over there and not turn the ball over, well, actually, they turn the ball over 8-some-odd times anyway, but if your defense can go ahead and contain Russell Wilson, which it can be done. Don't get it twisted. It can be done. First thing first also is you have to stop Marshawn Lynch. You stop Marshawn Lynch, you can stop that Seattle Seahawks offense, which would give you a chance to win a game and steal a game in Seattle. So that's what I've seen in Week 16. I saw the recipe to beat Seattle.
All right, let's go to the three things you need to know going into Week 17.
All right.
I'll start first.
Go ahead first.
Piggyback off of you, the Cardinals. Even though the Cardinals have already won 10 games, they still may not make the playoffs. They have to beat the Saints and become 11-5 just to get
a wild. They're playing the 49ers, I believe, right?
Yeah, excuse me. The 49ers mm-hmm. have to beat the 49ers, get to 11-5 just to make the playoffs. That lets you know just how tough the NFC is this year.
And the Saints have to lose, right? And the Saints have to lose, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
And that's one thing, you know, and that's another thing what you will find out is you'll see teams that will make it hard for these teams to make the playoffs. For instance, I see the Jets being Miami and Miami being eliminated. Even though Miami had a good run, I see the Jets going in Miami and beating Miami. Again, what I saw last week was ridiculous. A team that just didn't want to fight, you know, fight for the playoffs. And you'll see some teams choking, and that's one of the teams I see choking.
Okay, second thing you need to know, that despite starting 0-5, the Pittsburgh Steelers still have a very good opportunity to grab the 6th seed in the playoffs. It's going to, you know, it takes pretty much rocket science for you to figure out all the scenarios. Yeah. But even though at 0-5, if all three teams were the ahead three teams ahead of them being the Baltimore Ravens, the Miami Dolphins, and the San Diego Chargers, they have an excellent opportunity to grab the 6th AFC wild card spot.
All right, so stack it was mine. I got to think this out. Oh, yeah, here you go. Matt Flynn is going to start for the Green Bay Packers in a big, important game against the Chicago Bears, winner takes all. Matt Flynn's going to play well. I'm not going to say who's going to win, but Matt Flynn's going to play well. That Bears defense isn't good, but Lance Briggs is back, so hopefully he'll help out. But Flynn will play well, and he's done well for himself, and maybe, you know, get a contract extension with the Green Bay Packers. That's the only team he can play for. So,
okay. And the last thing you need to know is kind of a two-part. Mm. First part of it is that the Dallas Cowboys signed 41-year-old John Kitten to the roster to be their backup quarterback if Tony Romo can't go this Sunday. And the Eagles playing the Cowboys, this will be the third NFC East team to beat the Cowboys on the last day of the season to get to grab a spot in the playoffs.
And we need to talk about Romo later about that, too. We'll talk about Romo when we talk about the Cowboys game when we do our picks. And the last thing to learn is that nobody wants to play the San Diego Superchargers right now. They're playing good football, playing hot. That's actually my prediction to get into the playoffs. If everything pans out, if everything goes the way I think it's going to go, I see the Chargers getting into the playoffs, and won't be surprised. We all see the Chargers getting that sixth seed.
Okay. All right. Now it's time for us to pick them.
Will is 14. Will is 14 and 14. I am actually 26 and 15. My record is awesome. I'm an awesome individual. I'm awesome all over the place. I'm swell. I'm very swell. But let's go to the picks right now. Ravens versus the Bengals. Will T, you're first.
I am going to go with this is a tough one. I'm going to go with the Bengals. I think the Bengals pull this one out and kind of gain some momentum going into the playoffs.
So they end the Ravens playoff?
Yes.
Playoff chances. Okay. I'm going with the Bengals as well. Joe Flacco, I believe he sprained or tore his meniscus?
Tore his MCL.
MCL, yeah, his MCL. So, you know, obviously he won't be as mobile. Bengals have a terrific pass rush. So I have the Bengals taking this game and ending the Ravens playoff chances. Excuse me. Let's go down. Packers versus the Bears in Chicago. Soldier Field.
Jay Cutler solidifies his spot as the starting quarterback, franchise quarterback for the Chicago Bears, and wins this game against the Packers.
I think Jay Cutler and Chicago Bears win this game because it's in Chicago. Does he solidify his job as a franchise quarterback? Not as a franchise quarterback, but he gets it. He solidifies his job as the quarterback for the Chicago Bears because there's nobody better. You're not going to sign McCown to an extension at his age. So, yeah, Jay Cutler will be the starting quarterback for the Chicago Bears next season. Don't get greedy, though, Jay. They may let you go. Don't get greedy. Don't get greedy. All right. Niners versus the Cardinals.
This is a tough one.
I'm not going to lie. This is a tough one.
Really, really tough one.
Because two teams need this W. Because the Niners still have an opportunity to get home field advantage, and the Cardinals are going to be fighting for their lives. This is a tough one.
I am going to go Cardinals.
I like that pick.
I'm going to go Cardinals. I want to jump out on the branch and go Cardinals on this one.
I was going to go with the Cardinals myself. But since you picked the Cards, I'm going to go the opposite direction. I'm going to go with the Niners. Niners still fighting for the home field advantage, maybe, and hoping that the St. Louis Rams can beat Seattle, which I don't think is going to happen anyway, but they're probably hoping for it. So I'm going to go with the Niners. They look hot right now, even though they almost lost to a bad Atlanta team, but they're looking hot right now. Eagles versus Cowboys, our last game.
Well, I already told you who I was going to pick.
Eagles. Yeah, I mean, come on now. It's the Cowboys. It's the last game of the season. There's a pattern, man. I don't go against patterns. All right. When I'm on the dice, I don't go against patterns. When I'm playing roulette, I stick with a pattern. Black, red, black, red, black, 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 sticking on black. Sorry. It doesn't have to have Romo. Romo doesn't have to be in this picture. It is what it is. So, yeah, Cowboy fans, sorry for you. Speaking of Romo, you think it was a win-win situation for Romo or lose-lose situation for Romo being hurt? He can't be blamed. I look at this as a win-win situation for Romo. A lot of people saying this.
I think Romo comes out on top.
Yeah, me too.
If they lose, then everyone's going to say, well, we didn't have Tony Romo.
Exactly.
And, you know, because it's a pressure-packed game and what he's done the past, you know, you go over his hit. All you can go off of his history. And I know there are Dallas fans out there that say, you know, his record is skewed because they add January into his record. Mm-hmm. I don't want to hear that. I know what I've seen at least five times last game of the season with a potential playoff spot on the line. Tony Romo has made
a bonehead play
at an inopportune time that the team couldn't overcome. So, like I said, it's a win-win for Tony Romo, but if and when the Cowboys do lose, everyone will say, well, we didn't have Tony Romo. That's why we lost, so.
I'm happy. Either way, the Cowboys losing regardless. I think Romo he wins in the situation because they win. People are like, oh wow, we did with Kyle Orton. Romo won't look bad. They won't say let's make Kyle Orton a starting quarterback. If they lose, which is to me more detrimental because they're gonna lose. People are gonna say, well, we didn't have Romo, so that's the reason why we didn't win this game. And Romo's gonna look like a hero, you know, especially what he did against the Redskins. And I thought, you know, honestly, I hate the Cowboys, but I'm gonna be real. That was a valiant effort by Tony Romo, to do that. I mean, you know, being hurt and leading his team to a game-winning drive. So all praise to Tony Romo. I mean, you actually can win in this situation. ESPN should leave you alone for this season now. You should be swell. You should be fine. Anyway, it's time for another commercial break. When we get back, we'll be talking about the NBA games on the Christmas docket. It's the Urban Sports Scene on the Urban Scene on the Urban Sports Scene Network. Yeah, dig.
Deuces.
See, I'm better now.
Yeah.
See how I see it up. Yeah, exactly.
My life is full of statistics. Thing is, I could have dropped out of school and become one myself, but I didn't because I had people that believed in me. Here's another statistic. 7,000 students drop out every school day. That's one every 26 seconds. It's time that students know that we believe in them.
Inspire a student and share your message of support at boostup.org.
Urban Sports Team and Wally and Will. Love y'all, appreciate y'all. Keep up the support. We'll keep the hits coming.
Thank you, Skylar Diggins. We love you too. Keep giving us love. I'm gonna tweet you again. And girl, keep twerking. Keep twerking.
You're a wild dude, man.
Hey man, you see that twerking video, man. Call me wild. See that twerking video. She looking real good in that twerking video. Anyway. Let's start off with the Wizards first when we talk about the NBA. Right now, the Wizards are 12-13 and would be the sixth seed in the Eastern Conference. If they make the postseason, should Randy Whitman get an extension?
It's kind of hard for me to say, but I'm going to go. I think Randy Whitman should get an extension, but I don't think the guy who hired him should.
It's always about Ernie. Yeah.
It's always about Ernie. Ernie. I just think there are too many gaffes that he's made. That if you continue to entrust him with this franchise, they'll continue
Ernie's
to
made
go
some,
downhill.
You know what? I'm not a big Ernie Grunfeld fan myself, but he's made some good moves this season. I mean, I feel like, you know, bringing in – I don't like Marshawn Gortat, but that's a good move. Bringing Gortat.
Yeah, but you had to give up a first-round pick for that. To me –
They're going for the playoffs, man.
Going to the playoffs, and then you traded Nene. You know, he's a guy who, when he decides to play –
That one, yeah, no, you know what?
I think they need to
cut ties with Nene.
Yeah, after the season, he's a guy who's going to command like $50 million over probably like a four or five year stretch,
mm-hmm.
and he's going to continue to hold you hostage because when he decides that he's not injured, and when he decides, I'll go today, he's going to want to play. Then you have the Jan Vesely thing.
Oh, don't get started on Jan Vesely.
You also have the trade net number five pick for Randy Foy and Mike Miller, which should have been a Steph Curry. So, sorry.
That was a good one. That's good, Steph Curry.
That's
a good one, Steph Curry.
I wouldn't continue to entrust him with.
Hey, he's still making good moves though. Will, you can't knock it. I mean,
yeah, I like the Martell Webster signing.
Martell Webster. I'm not a big fan of Trevor Ariza.
Trevor Ariza. He'll come off the books this year.
Yeah, he should.
Bradley Beal. A guy who I loved.
All right, Bradley Beal. Okay, I didn't like Bradley Beal. I'm still a Harrison Barnes fan.
Yeah.
But Bradley Beal is, again, that's a good pick. That's a good acquisition. There's a lot of people who said Harrison Barnes was a better prospect.
Yeah, but
some people did.
Yeah, but, you know, he's batting like 200. I'm sorry. I just wouldn't entrust him with the future
of
this franchise.
Well, with this team, he's doing a good job. I mean, how I look at it, all right, if this team, if you put a starting five, which I kind of blame Randy Whitman for, I would, you know, you start John Wall, who's been lights out.
Sorry. I don't mean to cut you off. There's also a guy named Otto Porter. You see how that's
Otto Porter hasn't even really tried. They haven't done anything yet. Otto Porter they haven't even really incorporated him in the offense yet. So give that time. You make it sound like Otto. Trey Burke wasn't playing now in the beginning of the season. Now Trey Burke is frying. Like, you can't go off of that and say, oh, like, it's over. Like,
I'm not saying it's over, but give Otto Porter, if this is. Okay, this is your last year under contract.
Yeah.
Top three pick.
Yeah.
He hasn't panned out yet.
Who's not panned? All right, let's be real. If you look,
let's give him time. And I'll say, I'm not going to. I don't think anyone had, anyone thought that Otto Porter would be a superstar.
No one
but
thought
everyone
that.
Thought he would be a glue guy.
Yeah,
a guy who would fill the stat sheet, kind of like what people projected Evan Turner to do.
Of course.
Who hasn't panned out.
No, Evan Turner's balling now. He's balling this season. Oh, he's balling. Evan Turner's balling now.
Yeah.
Yeah, look at the stats. Evan Turner is balling. Now the team
he's
sucks.
He's playing
again.
Better.
Oh, he's balling. Check the
he's
stats, man. Look, I'm going to check his stats up. Let me check Evan Turner's stats real quick. But anyway, to back to the discussion. My problem, well, I'm going to go back to what you were referring to about Otto Porter. Look at Randy Whitman's his subbing patterns are horrible. People don't even get consistent minutes. Eric Maynard doesn't play. He plays Garrett Temple. Garrett Temple is horrible.
Garrett Temple looks like Otto Porter.
Don't he? I get him confused. I know. I get confused sometimes. I'd be like, oh, Otto, you in the game. No, that's Garrett.
That's Garrett Temple.
Yeah, Garrett Temple's horrible. He plays the one. Eric Maynard is a better one. I'm going to say this one time. I said the same thing when John Vesey was playing over Booker. I watch basketball. Will T watches basketball. I'm sure many of you watch basketball. Watch the eye test, all right? Booker is better than Vesely. Now when Nene went down, they were forced to play Booker. Booker was getting like 18 points, 13 boards, getting games like solid games back-to-back-to-back like that. Booker is better than Vesely. It's a fact. I'm not making this up. It's a fact. Eric Maynard is better than Garrett Temple. Make sure you put Eric Maynard in a situation, in a position to succeed rather than putting him in a position to fail. Use Eric Maynard's strength. High pick and roll, period. He can set you up. He can shoot that in between mid-range J or shoot the floater. He did that in college. He did that with OKC in the beginning of his career before he tore his knee. That's what Eric Maynard does, period. Garrett Temple is not a flat out. He's not a knockdown shooter. Yes, he plays good defense. That's fine. But when you want a point guard to come in for John Wall, you want somebody to command that offense. Garrett Temple doesn't command that offense.
You know, a guy, he actually was acquired by the Wizards in the Martin Gortat trade, who I would have liked to see how he would have developed
Marshall.
Here. Kendall Marshall. I would have liked to see
He got signed by
the Lakers.
Yeah, by Lakers.
I would have liked to see how he would have developed
here. Yeah, he would have been fine, too.
You know, being a number three point guard here.
Been fine, too. Would have been fine over, like I said, Garrett Temple playing point guard is not, conducive to winning basketball, in my opinion. But anyway, I'm with you though. Will Randy Whitman deserves an extension if he does get his team in.
You know, 2 years at least.
2 years if he gets his team in the postseason. 2 years extension. Let's go.
Let's say this: it's not hard to get his team in the postseason in the East.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, put it this way: to me, in my opinion, if he can get this team over 500, he definitely deserves an extension.
If he gets them
over 500.
Seven games over 500 in the week East. Seven games over 500.
I'll give you that. All right, let's go to LA. Kobe Bryant will be out 6 weeks due to a fracture in his knee. Should this be Kobe Bryant's last season in the NBA?
Yeah, I've been stating.
Hallelujah! Somebody's on my side. I want to be a Laker fan.
I don't know why they paid him $48 million over 2 years.
Blind loyalty, man.
Blind loyalty is correct. I would have given the guy something like $17 million.
$17 million for what?
Over two. If you're gonna sign him for two more years, I would have given him $17 million for over 2 years.
I would have given him one more year. I'll get 1 year deal.
To be honest with you, I probably wouldn't even have signed him until I saw him come back from that.
Can they amnesty him now after the season? Can you amnesty him? Because they never used their amnesty.
They still could.
They used amnesty on Ron Artest, did they?
You
can't use your amnesty anymore.
I wouldn't have signed him until I seen him come back from the injury, Kelly's injury, because that's one of the harder injuries to come back from. Because you know, playing basketball, you have to push off your Achilles.
Man, football players everything. Don't. Some football players don't come back from the Achilles properly. That's how I know it's serious.
Yeah, but that was a bad business decision by Jim Buss.
Because everybody was worried about, because Kobe Bryant's going to get a statue, this, that, and the other. I'm going to tell you this, okay? Kobe Bryant could be gone. It doesn't matter. You let Shaq go, you can let Kobe Bryant go. It's that simple. Not to be – like, it's really that simple. Shaq gave you three rings as finals MVP. Three rings Shaq gave you, all right? Say what you say about – so you can say Kobe gave you five. All right, whatever. That's whatever you want. But as lead dog, Shaq gave you three rings and you let him go. Yeah. You can let Kobe Bryant go. All right.
I don't think that they're focused on this upcoming summer for free agency. I think they're focused on that guy, Kevin Love, the best power forward in the NBA.
Mm-hmm. Why not be sorry and just get into this draft? This draft is so awesome.
Yeah,
that's what I'm saying.
To me, the two-year plan would have been, all right, I would tell Kobe, look, plain and simple, we're shutting you down.
Yeah.
You might can come back at the end of April.
Yeah.
But we want to shut you down. You know,
get
because
sorry.
Realistically,
get sorry
just,
for Parker.
Yeah, just realistically, you're not one of the eight best teams in the West.
No, what are you playing for?
Yeah, so like I said, 2-year plan. I shut Kobe down for the rest of this year. Let him come back at the end of April. All
right.
Get a lottery pick, and then next year, when free agency comes, Kevin Love.
What's Kobe playing for, though, man? What is he playing? What is he trying to come back for? What is he playing for?
We all know what he's trying to do. He wants to surpass Kareem for the scoring title. Yes. And he wants to get one more ring so he can be – he wants to be at the level of Jordan.
Oh, well,
six rings.
The ring will never happen.
Yeah, that's not going to happen. Because
he knows that, though. That's the real
– Well,
I think he knows
in his mind
no,
he thinks he can still
okay, let's be real. If he didn't know this – I'm just being real. If he didn't know this, he wouldn't have signed that contract with all that money. He knows this. By him signing that deal, he knows he's not winning a championship. He does know that, right? He did kind of strap the team with taking all that money. You have to know that you're not going to win a championship.
In his mind, he's the ultimate competitor. And
no, he's not. He's
even
not
at 35,
don't
you
get
could
twisted.
Put a team on
that
his
man's
back
not
and
delusional.
He'll win a championship.
He's not delusional. He knows what a winning team is. He does know that. You know, it's the same. Don't get. It's the same dude that when he had Odom and Caron Butler and folks, he was like, dog, I need some talent. I need some help. You know, that's when they brought Powell. You know, it's the same dude. Like, he knows. He's not stupid. He does know what's a winning team. He knows this team's not a winning team. He does know it. That whole competitor thing is like, oh, yeah, he doesn't know he's blind. That's when you're winning. That happens when you have a winning team. When Kobe Bryant was losing games, when he had the Kwame Brown and whatever on the team, he didn't. Smush Parker. Do you think he was blind and said, I could take this team to the championship? No, it was about building his ego. I'm going to build the brand of Kobe Bryant. I'm going to be the leading scorer in the NBA. I'm going to get all the individual accolades that I need. All right? This team won't win, but I know I'm going to get the name. I'm going to get a better recognition in terms of where I'm at as an individual ball player. All right? Like you just stated, he knows on this team, I'm trying to get Kareem. All right? I'm trying to beat Kareem. That's it. He ain't trying to get Mike's record. He ain't trying to get six. He ain't trying. Because he was trying to get six. I'm going to sign less. Maybe I can get my boy Melo to come over here because LeBron ain't coming over here. We're playing with Kobe. That should be real. Maybe I can get my boy Melo.
I don't think no one wants to come.
I don't think anybody wants to. But see, the only reason I'm getting Melo because Melo's actually cool with Kobe. That's the only reason why I'm even stating Melo because he's cool with Kobe. All right, then if I can't get Melo, Kevin Love, I got some money. We got enough money to get Kevin. We can get Kevin. We can try to get Kevin over here. Nah, I'm gonna sign that. When by him saying no, nah, I want that cash. I ain't mad at him. Like we stated earlier about Brian Roberts. Hey, money is money. You throwing that cash to me, I'm taking it.
Yeah, more money is ideal for anyone.
Yeah, so but anyway, let's go into the Christmas games. Speaking of the Lakers. The Lakers are playing the Heat. This game obviously not as attractive as Kobe Bryant is not playing.
Absolutely. The Heat will run over the Lakers.
Yeah.
You may see LeBron James get a third victim of his poster dunk.
Oh, I know. He's going ham.
Yeah,
he's
Ben McLemore, yeah. Paul Millsap.
That Ben McLemore one? Oh, jeez. I didn't see the Paul Millsap one, but I heard
about
it.
Yeah, that was nasty.
Was it nastier than the McLemore one?
No, because he jumped right over Ben McLemore. This
rookie, learn,
yeah.
Son. Learn.
Yeah, I guess people don't think he can still get up the way he but he clearly he can. So, this one's going to be ugly. This may be the one where, you know, if you haven't talked to your relatives during the day, you may want to give them a call. You know, have a game on mute.
Yeah.
Give them a call. Yeah. You know.
I agree.
Put together your kids' toys. Play with your kids' toys or, open your gifts at that one because this one's going to be an ugly game.
Well, all right. Miami Heat won the NBA championship. Why are they traveling? How come they can't be at home? Why they always got to travel? Last couple seasons they've been traveling.
L.A., when you have L.A. and Miami, you know.
Well, they traveled last time. They played L.A. last year? They traveled last year, too.
I'm not sure.
Yeah, they traveled last year,
okay,
too.
Well, it's L.A.
OKC. Was it OKC they played last game?
I think it was maybe. Sure. I'm not going to even lie to you.
Okay, I was thinking it's OKC. All right.
But, Miami, L.A., the NBA would probably prefer that the game be in L.A.
But
because, you got to think about it like this. Miami – even, game seven, first quarter, that it was bare.
Yeah, but L.A. people, they don't come on time either, though.
But L.A. people are more likely to come than Miami people.
You mean, okay, you're talking about just come, period, coming to the game, period.
Yeah.
Not late.
Yeah.
Yeah, because L.A. fans come late.
They come L.A. fans.
That's, oh, hey, that sound right. They come. LA fans get to the arrive to the game late. There you go. That sounds better. Late like some, yeah, exactly. Late like a chick on a period. All right. shoot. All right, let's go to the Nets Bulls game. Dang, same thing. No D Rose. Yeah,
no like, D no, Rose. No Paul Pierce.
He's back.
But no Brooke Lopez.
Yeah, Brooke, he's out for the season. He's out for the season
with the foot.
No, this game sucks anyway. Yeah, this game sucks.
Kevin
too.
Garnett, old overnight.
Oh, yeah.
This is gonna be not that again. This won't be that appealing of a
Christmas
game.
The Christmas docket is kind of you know awesome.
To me, the best game is at 10:30.
Yeah, we'll
we
talk about
Clippers.
Yeah, Clippers. Golden State. Now, yeah, we can talk about that. Clippers Golden State. I think the NBA is making a made a big mistake.
They should have flexed.
They should have flexed this one.
They should have used that flex option.
Yeah, because you got the Clippers. You got Chris Paul versus Steph Curry. Like that's a marquee matchup in its own right there.
Exactly.
And you should know, and honestly, this Lakers team sucks. Even with Kobe, it does suck. Like, you know what I mean? Like, that's still the matchup. That's your best matchup. Then you got the Rockets versus the Spurs. Those are two good teams. The White versus Tim Duncan.
Yeah, but the only thing is you don't know if Popovich will decide to
rest
those games. Yeah, will decide to rest
them. He may carry the NBA and be like, it's Christmas? I don't care. My lead dog still ain't going to play.
Exactly. So that's the only thing that Popovich in that equation, he's the variable. You never know what he's going to do with those guys. Mm. But another game that'll be interesting. OKC versus Knicks.
Though the Knicks are horrible right now this season. Yeah. But I do like the matchup, KD versus Melo. Who really scores the easiest between the two players?
Yeah, if this were two seasons ago, I would have said Melo, but now it's definitely the consensus is KD. Mm-hmm. Is definitely taking over as the best offensive player in the league.
Think Melo scores in more ways. I still take Melo in scoring in more ways. I think KD's more fluent in scoring.
I think KD's far more efficient. Mm-hmm. And I think KD gets shots off easier.
Yeah, that's true. I don't argue with that.
Yeah, so this would be an interesting matchup. You have Russell Westbrook, Serge Ibaka.
Yeah, Raymond Felton back. You got
whatever.
Bargnani.
Then you have Shumpert.
You got Tyson Chandler back.
Yeah, you got Tyson.
You got J.R. Madness Smith.
So it has the potential to be a interesting game. So if I out of the three early games on the docket, I'd definitely say this is the easiest watch game to watch.
OKC Knicks?
Yeah, OKC Knicks.
What you mean the easiest?
Out of the Heat versus Lakers and Nets versus Bulls, most enjoyable game to watch on the early docket.
It's true. That's true. And then after that, if I had to rank it for how it is from like the five games on the ticket, on Christmas Day,
I think it would go reverse.
It would. You're right. It would be Golden State Clippers, mm-hmm. Rockets Spurs, OKC. Yeah, OKC versus Knicks.
I put Heat Lakers before Nets Bulls.
Heat Lakers. Yeah, Heat Lakers before
just
Nets.
Just because
LeBron James
factor.
LA. Yeah.
And then I would put Nets Bulls.
The last. Yeah, because it's the worst game. It is.
Tom Thibodeau. Great coach, but he wants to grind it out.
Yeah, it's a boring style. And then, obviously we'll see Deron Williams, but, Deron Williams.
Coach killer.
Yeah, Deron Williams isn't doing anything right now. I'm a fan of Deron Williams. I actually a dark-skinned dude, a fan of a light-skinned dude. Who would have thunk it?
Yeah, who would have thought
it? Anyway, it's about that time to go hard in the paint. I'm about to cue this music.
Cue it up.
I go hard in the I used to hate the Flocka joint. I used to hate it so much.
Why?
Flocka. Flocka Flame. Wally Flocka. Ever call me a flame. Anyway, I'm going to choose to go hard in the paint. I'm going to choose another light-skinned dude, man. What's up with me and light-skinned people today? Steph Curry. Steph Curry on Christmas Day is going to go hard in the paint. He's going to get Chris Paul. We're talking about the most craziest shooter in the point guard position and a guy whose handles is on a different level. I mean, it's not on Chris Paul level. Chris Paul got the best handles. But I'm going to have Steph Curry going hard in the paint.
I'm actually going to choose from the worst game on the docket.
Okay.
I'm going to go with Taj Gibson. I think Taj Gibson goes hard in the paint. He gets 18 and 10.
I don't even get why you choose Taj Gibson out of everybody.
I just wanted someone obscure, and I just wanted to be different.
I feel you.
I wanted to go off the off-beaten path.
I feel you, my man. It's just difficult, man. Anyway, man, thank you all for listening to the Urban Sports Thing. It's been a great show. good to have my man Will T, Ice Willy T, back on the show.
Don't call me Ice Willy T.
We don't like, you don't like Ice Willy T?
Oh, don't like Flocka.
Okay, I don't. I'm stopped then.
All right.
I'm respectful. Someone says stop calling us something they don't like, I'm all for it.
I appreciate
exactly.
that.
Exactly. But you did call me Walker, Wally Flocka Flame a rack of times, so I'll let you know that off the bat. All right. Acting all brand new. You don't like being called. You used to call me at a rack of times.
I know I did.
Exactly. Anyway, before we leave, let me give you our information. Listen to us at www.wallyo.podbeam.com. And also, you know, check out. Make sure you check out the live site. It's going to be playing our old shows without you even having to hit play or whatever. So you can hear our shows on repeat. Isn't that great? Our shows on repeat.
Yeah, that's amazing.
That's amazing. Freaking amazing. See what $13.99 will do for you. $32.99, excuse me. We're also on iTunes, Twitter, and Facebook. Just search the Urban Sports Scene. And if you have any questions or comments, just email us at change.da.game6@gmail.com.
All right, well, it's been real. Happy Festivus. Happy Merry Christmas. And all
yeah,
that.
Festivus. That's like Seinfeld.
Yeah.
Festivus for the rest of us.
Yeah.
Exactly. I love
that
show.
I watch Seinfeld.
I love Seinfeld, dude. Man. The best episode, like the last episode is like one of my favorite episodes of all time.
Oh, okay. Because
you can laugh at a dude getting robbed. Think how hilarious that is. You laughing at a fat dude getting robbed and making jokes as he's getting robbed. And then you get arrested for it. That's hilarious to me. The concept is crazy.
Yeah, it is. But once again, thank you all for listening to us. We wish you a Merry Christmas. And we'll be back before the new year for our year-end show.
Yes, you know it. It's the Urban Sports Scene on the Urban Sports Scene Network.
Deuces, bitches!